I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The golden arches stand in places worldwide, letting hungry people know that a quick meal is not too far off. For ships at sea, light from a lighthouse helps them to avoid danger and let them know that land is nearby. In the comic world, in the nighttime sky, an image from the bat signal not only summons Batman, but lets criminals know that justice is near. Signs and symbols are common in our lives. They usually have a deeper meaning and point to something greater. In the church, our worship is defined as how we respond to God's blessings. And through various signs and symbols, we are anchored in our faith and can even find ourselves in prayer. A Star of David, an eagle. Well, you can spend most of the day just looking around here, identifying different symbols. In our Old Testament lesson, we learn about one particular symbol. Following the deliverance from bondage, the Israelites make their way to the Promised Land. Around this time, God has affirmed their identity in the covenant made on Mount Sinai, where God told them, "You will be my people." And even so, they did travel through the wilderness for so long, and many died. Their impression of salvation would turn sour, and they would lose sight of where they were going. They took the lost lives and the bad food as a sign that they were worse off than they were before. And as they started to complain, they began to encounter poisonous snakes that bit them and killed them. And one thing to note is the claim that God sent the snakes. And that could be hard to hear. It's very similar to the story, many stories, but even thinking back to Noah and the ark, to hear that God sent the floods because of regret. And I want to believe that the authors of these texts are trying to make sense of things when everything around them seems to be falling apart. What we do believe is that God does not cause harm, but is with us when it happens. Moses interceded on the people's behalf and was instructed to make a bronze snake, to put it on a pole, and to raise it high so people could see it and they would not die. The symbol of the snake on the pole is prophecy. It's a representation of Jesus on the cross. To take a creature like a snake, which in scripture and legend carry negative implications, and make it a source of life is a significant plot twist. God challenges our assumptions of death and punishment, into healing and hope. Even now, you walk out of here, you may see an ambulance with an image of a snake wrapped around a pole, because it still represents medical care. It's also important to remember that they prayed for the snakes to go away, but the snakes were still there. The snakes did not stop. They continued to be there, biting the people. I also want to believe that this is a representation that destruction and pain are always going to be present in our lives. But in the midst of that, God is there with us in our struggle. Our gospel recalls this story. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus continues to explain what will happen and why, as he articulates the prophecy is revealing itself for good reason. Because God loves you. Our gospel is a portion of a conversation from a secret meeting. In the cover of darkness, Nicodemus comes and finds Jesus. As someone who opposed Jesus, he suddenly found himself curious. He even acknowledged that Jesus came from God based on his power and the miracles performed. He called him Rabbi, a respectful honorific of a higher authority figure or mentor. In an almost panicked nature, as he tries to understand Jesus, he finally says, "How can these things be?" Again, the answer, God loved. Here, God challenges Nicodemus' assumption so much that Nicodemus originally came as a source of hate and power and ended up being one of love. After the crucifixion, Nicodemus famously comes and receives Jesus' body. He comes with expensive creams and spices, weighing more than 100 pounds, to care for, to clean, and maybe even anoint Jesus' body in death. So by this point now, we know what the snake on the pole represents. And like the cross, when we see it, we are healed. However, there is something a bit odd. Take a look around. The cross is covered. The cross is covered in Lent, and this season, along with our other modest decorations. These signs and symbols are common in our daily life, but Lent reminds us to pause and reflect on their deeper meanings and what they're pointing to. The covered cross allows us to join with Jesus in his journey towards Calvary. It allows us to long for the resurrection and challenge our preconceived notions. Bishop Craig Loya of the Episcopal Church of Minnesota writes about famous biblical verses like the one that we have in our gospel. And it could still be extended to signs and symbols when he says, "Wide exposure often leads to narrow understanding. And I think our familiarity causes us to miss some of its depth and richness." In the season of Lent, I urge you to watch the signs. I urge you to explore our assumptions and to join with Christ as he prepares to be lifted up. Amen.